السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله، ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, I will not be making the tafsir of the ayat which I have recited, but what I recall is that last week we were discussing a hadith of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or a hadith sharif which I was going to discuss, but the trend of thoughts went in a different direction, and we were unable to really discuss that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now we have to know that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will deal with us according to our actions. People around the world, it is our duty to inform them, it is our duty to convey the message to them, it is our duty to propagate the deen. However, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will question us with regards to our actions. And there are so many things that are happening around the world which are beyond our means to change. And if we have to really look at our discussions, most of the times they center around those things which are beyond our means to really change. We will sit and we will say, America should do this, Britain should do that, the Muslim country should do this, the Muslim country should do that. But our voice does not even go beyond that breakfast table, or beyond that walima table, or beyond that nikah and marriage table. It's just talk, talk and talk. Of what benefit it is, I don't know. But some of the statements that we will make, as if Bush is really listening to what we are saying, and Blair is really listening to our blah blah. That's what we really think. So there's no doubt that we have to have concern for what is happening. Palestine is under siege. We know that it is under siege. Now what can we do in this part of the world besides assisting and helping them financially, materially, or making dua for them? But swearing and cursing the rulers of other countries does not seem to really get us anywhere. Unless, of course, the person has got a voice in the corridors where it is really heard. How many of us have really got that voice? So we should make dua for them. It is very sad, there is no doubt about it. How can a Muslim not be affected by what is happening? Movement of theirs is so restricted now. They just cannot make any movement. The wall of shame is encircling the whole of Palestine. Even within Palestine, they cannot really move. There's so much of check posts and border posts. And every little while there's raid and there's terror that is being unleashed. So what else can we do besides make dua for them, help them financially, materially? But all the other things that we say and we speak, they don't really have any impact on anyone. So together with worrying about what is happening in the outside world, we have to worry about ourselves. Because whatever is happening with the decision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Last night also I discussed the same thing, that we have to believe that it is the decision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that everything is happening with. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes the decision. No matter how much we decide, but if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala decides otherwise, then it will happen as Allah ta'ala wills. Because a second before an earthquake takes place, the people don't know that there's going to be an earthquake in which 30, 50, 60,000 people are going to lose their lives. So all our planning with regards to that country will fail because we don't know what's going to happen the very next second. Those people who were in the Twin Towers, where the planes knocked them down, then a few seconds before that they did not know that this was going to be the outcome of these Twin Towers. So all the planning with regards to those Twin Towers, now all the planning that those administrators and those directors may have made with regards to those towers, all were reduced to naught. They must have been planning so many things that tomorrow we are going to be doing this in this section of the building, and tomorrow the next day we will be doing this, and 2 months later this lease will be expiring and that lease will be renewed, and I don't know what planning they must have done. And the people that were in there also, how much of planning they must have done. And all over, wherever disasters have struck, how much of planning must have taken place. Iraq, how much of planning must have taken place. But when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's decision is made with regards to any matter, then kun fayakun, it will happen, definitely happen. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He does not make decisions willy-nilly anyhow that Allah ta'ala feels He wants chaos in this world, He does not want any kind of system and rhythm and serenity and tranquility. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has not created the world just to make decisions like that. But He has given us guidelines in the Quran Sharif, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given us guidelines in the Hadith Sharif, that when these are going to be your actions, then you must wait for this reaction. And it's happening exactly as Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa has foretold. How can he be wrong? He was the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wahi used to come upon him, and whatever he said is the truth and nothing but the truth. So our actions, we are not concerned about. Whereas we will be questioned with regards to our actions. Now, how much of changes have we brought in our lives after reading all these incidents, about all these incidents, whatever is happening, how much of terror and how much of oppression and tyranny and how much of suffering, and what are the causes of those sufferings? Who hasn't the knowledge of what is happening in the Muslim world, so-called Muslim world? Which country in the Muslim world can claim that we have got Islamic laws and we implement Islamic laws besides a few laws? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised, as I discussed at length, that whenever there's going to be just selective implementation of laws, then أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. So that disgrace, that humiliation will come, that suffering will come. But how much of lessons we take in this part of the world? So that is the reason why on these Jummah occasions, which is just 15-20 minutes, so once in a week sometime a person only gets the chance and an opportunity to listen something about deen, and this is not a far-fetched thing. Find out from so many people that the whole week they are so occupied that they listen to nothing about deen. The only time they get is on the Jummah occasion, they say. And many a times even on the Jummah occasion they come so late that they are left with nothing to listen to. So at that time also, if we are going to go on repeating those things which the knowledge of which is with the people, and if they don't have the knowledge, then there's so much of access to it. Every day people are listening to the radio stations, they are listening to they're reading the newspapers, they're reading the magazines, they're watching on the internet. There's so much. So when will we listen to those matters which affect our lives? So these incidents which we are quoting from the Hadith Sharif and in the lives of the awliya of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are so that we may bring a change in our lives. Because when changes will come in our lives, then we will find changes coming in our homes, changes coming in our families, in our society, and then the nations will change. But we don't want to change. As individuals, we don't want to change. We want the whole world to change. خُد تو بدلتے نہیں قرآن کو بدل دیتے ہیں. And that's what we want. The Quran must change, but we mustn't change. So Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that I read under or studied under 400 different ustads of Hadith Sharif. And after reading all the hadiths, 4,000 hadiths, which I learnt under them, then I chose just one Hadith Sharif for my salvation and for my najat. Now a great person like that, he says, I chose just one Hadith Sharif for my salvation. So they asked him, what is that one Hadith Sharif that you chose? He said, the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, اِعْمَلْ لِدُنْيَاكَ بِقَدْرِ مَقَامِكَ فِيهَا وَعْمَلْ لِلْآخِرَةِ بِقَدْرِ بَقَائِكَ فِيهَا وَعْمَلْ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى بِقَدْرِ حَاجَتِكَ إِلَيْهِ وَعْمَلْ لِلنَّارِ بِقَدْرِ صَبْرِكَ عَلَيْهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Now look at this beautiful Hadith Sharif. Now he says, I chose this. Why did he choose this Hadith Sharif? Because it has got such depth. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, even if he spoke a few words, they had such meaning, such depth. A person gets an ocean in a teacup. Even the teacup is too big. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his words were wahi. So he says, make amal for this dunya as much as you are going to stay in this world. That means let your movement in this dunya be that much as you are going to be staying in this world. Your earning, your buildings, your properties, your wealth, your fortunes, everything that you are accumulating, let it be only that much which will be good enough or sufficient for you, for your life in this world. In other words, we are not saying that you must not earn a livelihood, or you must not have any savings, or you must not have any property. If that was the case, Shariat should not have made zakat farz. Zakat will only come farz when you have a certain amount of wealth. Sadaq and the hajj will only become farz when you have a certain amount of wealth. And so many other things. But what we are told is this, that let your actions in this world show that you are not a person of this world. You are a person of the hereafter. That means this is not your hometown. You are not a citizen of this world. Your citizenship is of the hereafter. The passport that you hold is of the hereafter. That is where you belong to. And that is where you are going to remain forever. This world is transitory. It is a bridge over which you cross into the hereafter. Now let us look at our actions in the light of this first part of this Hadith Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that do that much as you are going to stay in this world, do that much for this world. Now how many times I have repeated this, that if we look at our greed, then we look at not only ourselves, we want to make sure that we, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, everybody is taken care of. And in the process, we are unconcerned whether it comes through halal sources or haram sources, because we truly believe that we are going to live for a very, very long time. How many deaths have taken place from that Shab-e-Barat up till now? I have mentioned this before also, that whenever we give a bayan on Shab-e-Barat and we say that the list of those who are going to die is given to the angels and they are going to take the souls of those people whose names are on that list, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person is putting up a property, he is building, but his name is already in the list of the dead. He is planting a garden and his name is already in the list of the dead. He is getting married but his name is in the list of the dead. Dead already. But this person doesn't know. So therefore we are not saying that he mustn't get married, he mustn't plan for the future, he must plan for 100 years, no problem. But we must believe that death is imminent, it can come any time. How many people have left us just from Shab-e-Barat, from the 15th of Shaban up till now? And in such conditions that it was shocking. People, we say it was tragic. It was unexpected. Suddenly they left. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, do that much for this world as much as is essential. But day and night just to chase and chase and chase after material things. And the more we chase, the more it runs further from us. Not that it doesn't come, But what happens is that if it comes, then we look ahead that how much more we can get and how much more we can get. And there's just no end to that greed. Therefore that beautiful poetry, Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya, dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. O Allah, change this heart which is filled with nothing but greed. Greed and evil passions and desires, is that the kind of a heart a Muslim takes and walks about on the surface of the earth? Where will he have time then to for anything else? Because that greed will not allow him to do anything else for the akhirat. So to do the worldly work or to engage in worldly activities, to earn a halal livelihood, it's all essential. But not the way that we are engaged. From the morning there's no other concern except how much can we make for the day. And then the namazes are neglected. Sick people can die. Family can be suffering. But we've got no time because we enjoy just seeing how the bank balance is rising. That's all. And those people who haven't got any money, they too are no better. Those who've got money, those who've got plentiful, their greed has got no limit. And those who haven't got anything, well, now we would have said that they've got plenty of time at least to do something. But look at the neglect even in their lives. That the only thing they will cry about is the poverty. But they will not see all the other ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with. There's so much of bounties of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala even on the poorest of all persons. Of course, it is the duty of the rich to go and search for the poor and share their wealth with them. But as far as the poor are concerned, their gaze also must be on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They must appreciate whatever they have got. And then within the parameters of Sharia, work and beg of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will open the doors. But at least they should not be negligent when it comes to their namazes and to their zikr and tilawat and abstinence from haram. But even they, the moment they get a little bit of money, the first thing they run towards is haram. Cinema, disco, theater, rave club. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that اِعْمَلْ لِدُنْيَاكَ بِقَدْرِ مَقَامِكَ فِيهَا. That as long as you are going to be staying in this world, do make that much effort for this world. Don't kill yourself, because there is a hereafter to come. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says in the second part, and make as much amal for the akhirat as much as you are going to stay in the akhirat. So what we have to do is convert, transform and change. Whatever we are doing in this world, it must now become a zariya and a wasila and a means for the provisions of in the akhirat. The same thing, we don't have to go any other part of the world for that, or on the mountain tops, or on the seashore, or divorce everything and get away. The same worldly things we'll be using, but now we'll use it correctly, we'll earn correctly, we'll have the niyat right. We'll do it for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So now the same thing will become the wasila of the hereafter, a means for the hereafter. The same body we will use, the same wealth we will use. We will live amongst the same children and the same family. But our whole attitude towards life will now be changed, because we know that there is a hereafter where we are accountable for all our actions and deeds. Without mentioning any names, because these incidents every day we hear, there's nothing new in it. And nobody comes to know also, because I don't mention the name. Unless of course it's his own friends and families and everybody knows it. And it's obvious that they all must come to know. A young person just yesterday was discussing with me. And he says that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had blessed our family with so much of wealth. Everything we had going for us. But then the greed increased. And after that they started going to the casinos and started dealing fraudulently, and started making false insurance claims. Whilst we were doing that, still we were growing and growing. And then the bubble burst, finish. Says, today I am working, my father is working, the whole family is all lost, nothing left. Everything gone down the drain. So this is what happens when the person becomes greedy. Now Allah Ta'ala had given the person sufficient amount of wealth, sufficient property, then what was the need to go for more? In a haram way. But then when the haram will come, then it will take away even the halal. Therefore, I have said many, many times that if a person goes to the casino and if he loses, then it is one azab of Allah Ta'ala that he lost. But if he won, then that is double azab of Allah Ta'ala that he won. Because now he's going to go repeatedly there. And then finally, whatever earnings has come in the haram way, it will drag all the halal earnings too. And look at the disgrace that comes upon such family and such persons. Not only the casinos, any person who has embezzled funds, any person who has been dishonest, and especially when it comes to masjids, madrasas, and amanat and trust, whatever kind of amanat and trust property that might be, of the orphans, of the widows, whoever has embezzled those funds, or whoever has been dishonest, then within his lifetime he will see embarrassment, shame, disgrace and humiliation. And if not, then within a short period of time, whatever had come, everything will go. Look at the examples throughout the world, in our country and our city and our town. But yet we don't take lessons. So rather be satisfied with that which is coming in a halal way, with which Allah Ta'ala is pleased. How many examples I have given you in the past? Then why chase after that which is haram? It will never ever bring barakat and happiness and peace. It cannot. How can it when it is something that is bringing the curse and the wrath of Allah Ta'ala? Unless of course a person doesn't believe in Allah Ta'ala. He's got no belief in the akhirat, no belief in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sayings and teachings. Then he's a disbeliever. And for the disbeliever, whatever good actions and deeds he does, he will get somewhere. He must get something. Allah Ta'ala gives it to him plentiful in this world. So now we look at those people who are progressing whilst they are taking interest, whilst they're gambling, and they're progressing, they're putting up buildings and everything. Allah Ta'ala can give on piety and righteousness also, he can give. And sometimes the person is very righteous and pious, but he doesn't get anything in this world. But plentiful for him in the akhirat. But in this world also Allah Ta'ala gives him contentment, which is such a treasure. But we look at those people, and I don't know whether I gave this example here, that the dog, if it has to eat bones, then it will get health, it will get strength, it will grow strong. But if we look at the dog that it is eating bones and getting strong, so therefore we say, why shouldn't we also eat bones? So if we start eating bones, then our bones will become part of the graveyard. For the dog, the bones are healthy. So if the disbeliever takes interest, then he will grow. There's nothing wrong with it. Because in this world he will get, it's his jannat. But now we look at those people, they are taking interest, they go into the casinos, they're winning so much. Lotto wins by the millions, and look at the properties they build after that, and look at how they fly throughout the world and travel on ships on the oceans. Now we look at all that, then that is like looking at the dog eating bones, because for a Muslim that is what it is. If he is going to go for that, then it will be like the bones for the human being. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand this philosophy. We talk about a lot of philosophy. This is the philosophy of life. That within seconds the person just goes from this world. He doesn't know how long he's going to live. So if he doesn't know how long he's going to live, then live in the way that Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are pleased with. Because Shariat has taken care, Allah and His Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam has taken care. They have given great consideration to the happiness of the heart of a Muslim and a believer. Halal things Allah Ta'ala has made so much for our enjoyment and for our pleasure. There's so much of halal. In the food line I've explained that so many things Allah Ta'ala made halal. In clothing so many things halal. And so many other things. Why did Allah Ta'ala make halal? So that we enjoy good life in this world too and in the hereafter. But of course with that comes responsibilities, obligations. That we have to make amar bil maruf and nahi anil munkar. Stay ourselves away from haram and from forbidden things, and keep our families away from it. And we ourselves should do that which is pleasing to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and keep our families away. So we make dua that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems of the entire Ummah, especially in Palestine, where the whole Palestine is under siege, the land of the Anbiya, the land of the Awliya, the land of the Sahabas, that wall of shame, as I said. But the world is watching, the Muslim countries are watching. What else can we do except make dua for them? May Allah Ta'ala remove the hardships and may Allah Ta'ala restore Masjid Al-Aqsa back to the Muslim Ummah. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillah.